Good to see you here tonight. It's good to be here. It's a blessing to be here, that's for sure. Hope y'all having a good week. I'm having a pretty good week, actually. They ain't hurt me too bad at work, so I'm tickled. Amen. Well, I hope everything's going good, and I always remember the Awana program over there. And just keep them on your mind all the time. It's such a good ministry. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to start off by reading verses. We'll be in Psalms 27. Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my own enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in thy plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over in the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe our cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Psalms 127. All right. We'll go ahead and get started here. We're going to do some singing. I've got the songs of hymn, church hymnal. And we're going to do 113, Glory to His Name. And after we sing, I'll do the missionary letter.
Thank you.
just over to Glory Land, let's sing out. 248. We'll do first, second, and fourth. Flight to Sri Lanka is about 21 hours, not counting the 18-hour layover in Qatar. The first leg from Atlanta to Qatar is about 15 hours. Imagine a 2-year-old being on an airplane for 15 hours and not crying one time. It was as God's great, mighty, loving, and tender hand was wrapped around JoJo and her sister Jill as they made the trip. Once in Sri Lanka, God opened several opportunities for Elizabeth and her daughters to minister to ladies and children in our community. All three are very excited about getting back in October and continue to work there for the Lord Jesus. Since returning from their survey trip, God has been using Elizabeth, Jill, and JoJo in an incredible way. The Lord has opened several doors for Elizabeth to share her work. Each time God has moved in very special ways amongst people, as of now, God has opened the door, Jill and JoJo, to share their call to Sri Lanka with 18 different churches. If all these are led of God to financially support their work, God will have raised more than half their needed support in only 11 weeks of deputation. While in Sri Lanka for their survey trip, God also opened many doors for me to share the gospel. One afternoon, I was on the roof of an apartment building recording a message from John 6. I thought I was alone, but suddenly I noticed a Sri Lanka man in his early 20s peering around the corner and listening to the message. When I finished the message, I began to talk with him and his fellow worker about the Lord Jesus. As it turns out, they were doing maintenance work on a 200,000-gallon water tank on top of the 30-story apartment building. I told them more about the message I was preaching and shared how they could view it. While writing this prayer letter, I checked, and a particular message had six times more views than one before, if not six times more. Truly, God is writing in unique and unexpected ways to get his glories out to the people in Sri Lanka. And that's Stephen and Jill Sorrell in Sri Lanka. Amen. Okay. All right, Brother Bobby.
Anybody got a song tonight? Anything on your heart? Don't nobody jump at once, everybody. All right, thank you, Emma. Appreciate it. Let's get a few prayer requests if we can. Remember the church, obviously. Pray for it. God would touch and move within it. Have his way in the services. Have his way in the church. And pray that God would just meet with us in our services. Pray for the services on Sunday. We have Brother Ward, Brother Dustin Ward, coming, preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night. And you be much in prayer for him and pray for the church during this time. Also, pray for Brother Marcus Nelson. He's having surgery tomorrow, and on his knee, you pray for him, and also continue praying for his wife, Lakin, that God would touch and give her the strength and the healing that she needs for these babies she's carrying. Pray for Miss Tracy. She's having a scope tomorrow on her shoulder, so they'll go in and scrape, do a biopsy, and see what's going on in there as far as infections and things go. So you pray for her. Let me see. I know I'm forgetting something. Someone else while I'm thinking. Okay. Her former boss at the old courthouse. His sister has cancer, is that right? All right, pray for them. Anything else?
Bobby, remember my grandkids? Remember Penny? She's sick, running a fever. Remember, that's my little one.
Okay. Remember the grandchildren. Amen. Remember the Awana program, always. Brother Tweed's already mentioned it, but always pray for them. The workers, the children, too, that they'll hear the gospel, and they'll be saved. Amen. Anything else?
Remember my daughter, Summer. She's having surgery Friday.
Friday? All right. Shauna's daughter, Summer, having surgery on Friday. Remember Brother Evan. He is still, he's here tonight, but he don't feel like being here. But you pray for him. God would touch him and give him the healing that he needs. Anything else?
Pray for Lane. He has to have an MRI done on his knee in case he's hurt.
Now, who is that?
Lane, our grandson.
Lane, okay. All right, on his leg. All right. All right, remember that. Anything else?
Remember our nation.
Remember the family of Charlie Kirk, and pray that God would take this tragedy and bless it. You say, preacher, I don't see how that can happen. I think I read somewhere there's already been 18,000 new chapters started worldwide, Turning Point Ministry. So God can take anything and make it good. So you pray for this. Pray about it. Pray for them. And pray for our nation, that God would heal our nation. But before God heals our nation, he's got to heal our communities. He's got to heal our churches. He's got to heal our families. So you keep that in mind. Anything else before we pray? All right. Brother Bradley, would you please pray for us, please? For our thought tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to get a few thoughts out of this, if I may. God would help us. Thank you for being here this evening. I know we've got a good number down in the Awana program. And thank you all for coming here. I appreciate it. I really do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading verse number 13. Verse number 13, Paul writes through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now here in these verses, Paul is warning Timothy that evil wicked men and seducers. Now the word seducers means imposters, claiming to be who they are not. They go about seducing, luring people into evil and luring people into false teachings. He says that they shall wax, they shall grow worse and worse, deceiving men, deceiving not only you all and me, but deceiving their own selves. They deceive themselves by themselves, if that makes any sense to you. But Timothy, he said, you continue in all things that you've learned. You continue doing what you've learned to do, and that you have been assured of, or that you have learned and put into practice, and you've proved that they were the truth. You know, there's a lot of difference in knowing what's true and putting that truth into practice. And folks, today we have a head knowledge. We have a head knowledge of the Word of God, many of us. But do we put that head knowledge into practice and put it into truth and have an experiential knowledge and not only an intellectual knowledge? So he says here, you've been assured of these things. You've proved within yourself that they were true, knowing of whom you have learned them. One of the letters Paul writes to Timothy talks about his mother and his grandmother teaching Timothy the Word of God, teaching Timothy the Scriptures since he was a child. And even Paul himself taught Timothy whenever Timothy began taking up with Paul. And he said, "In that you have learned the Holy Scriptures, even as a child, and these Scriptures, they are able to make you wise unto salvation." Folks, today it's the Scripture that brings conviction upon the heart of men and women. It's the Holy Word of God, the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings conviction upon a heart that draws them to the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation, through faith in Him. He goes on, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration." That word inspiration simply is translated, could mean God breathed. Brother, God breathed this word upon Paul. He breathed His word upon the prophets of old, upon the writers of the Old Testament, upon the writers of the New Testament. He breathed His word and inspired them through the Holy Ghost of God, His inspired and infallible word. And this word is profitable, or it is beneficial for doctrine or for the teaching of holy things. Brother, if we want to know the mind of God, we find it through the Bible. If we want to know the will of God, we find it in His Word. This Word is doctrinally sound, and it teaches us of holy things tonight if we read it and study it. This Word is also good for reproof or for convincing one of the truth. Brother, if we can read this Bible with an open mind, and then God can speak to us about the truth of the Word of God, and He'll show us exactly what the truth is. Brother, God will not let us go down a false way. He will not let us go down a false narrative. This Word is also good for correction. Brother, if you read it and listen to it being taught or being preached, brother, it'll correct you. You start going down the wrong path, it'll lead you right back to the right path. And it said, "For instruction in righteousness," or after we have been put on the right path, it will instruct us on how to stay on the right path and to do what we're supposed to do on the right path. Now that's what the Word of God can do for us, if we'll read it and study it and heed it. These are all great things that Paul has written unto Timothy. All of them great. He said that he has written these things that the man of God may be perfect. He may be complete and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Brother, today when God calls a man to the ministry, brother, he needs to get in his King James Bible and read and study that King James Bible. That's all he needs. You say, "Preacher, do you have commentaries?" I sure do. But whenever the commentary goes against the Word of God, I overlook that commentary. Amen? Hey, listen, the Word of God, it makes us complete and thoroughly furnishes us in what we need for the ministry of God. But I want to get our thought tonight, if I may, back in verse number 14, two little words there. It says, "Continue thou." Continue thou. Keep on going. Don't deviate and don't veer away from the truth. Brother, there are some things that men will try to tell you. There are some things that religions will try to impress upon you and try to make you veer from the truth of the Word of God, or make you veer from the truth of the worship of God. But friend, today listen. He says continue on in what you've learned. Continue on in what your mom and your daddy's told you about the Word of God, and continue on in what I've give you lessons, and continue on in that. So friend, today let's not deviate or veer away from the Word of God. And there are some things we need to get back to. There's some things we need to maybe continue on in these difficult times. We're living in sad times. We're living in perilous times. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So friend, today he's telling us there's going to be hard times. Chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times, times that man has never seen before. So he said, because of that, continue these things. Continue on. Continue on. You say, preacher, what should we continue? I believe, friend, we ought to continue worshiping the Savior. We ought to continue worshiping him. Over in John chapter number 12, we see Mary as she comes to Jesus, and she's got her alabaster box. And after supper, Martha, it says she come unto, or Mary come unto him with a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. This is John 12 and verse number 3. And said she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And then said Jesus, let her alone. Against this day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Here Mary is, and they're sitting with Lazarus at his table, and there she comes in with this spikenard, very costly perfume that she had brought. And brother, what was she doing, preacher? She just wanted to worship. She just wanted to get with him and worship a little while. Brother, she worshiped today in spite of the cost. This ointment that she had said was a 300 days of wages. That's a yearly salary. Whatever you make a year, can you imagine taking that amount of money per year and just giving it over to the church, giving it over to somebody that really, really needed it? That's what she did. She took this ointment and she wiped the feet of Jesus. She worshiped in spite of the cost. Brother, these folks today that won't worship, and they've got a car to get the church in, they've got automobile, they've got gas, they've got clothes, they've got things, they could come, but yet they won't spend time to come to the house of God and worship him. Brother, today Mary, she worshiped worshiped in spite of the citizens. The Bible said the house was full. Pharisees were there. Sadducees were there. People all over the place standing and sitting and reclining. Yet she didn't let them bother her worshiping. But a lot of people, they won't go and they won't worship because of the crowds that's there. But we don't have that problem here most times. But listen, they don't go because of the people, because of those that are around. Friend, they let them stop them from worshiping. Brother, a lot of times God will move on people's hearts to go to the altar and pray and seek God. And that's a form of worship, if you please. And they look and they look around and said, well, if I went to the altar, what would so-and-so say? What would somebody say if I went to the altar? You're letting people dictate to you how you worship God. Friend, today don't worry about the people. Worship God in spite of the people. Worship God in spite of the cost. Worship God in spite of the critics. Judas said, hey, this could have been sold for a great deal of money and given to the poor. I mean, he criticized her. What did Jesus do? He said, let her alone. Brother, whenever you start criticizing the way people worship, Jesus step in. He said, let her alone. Leave her be. Let her worship. She's doing this for me. She's not doing this for you. Brother, today it doesn't matter what the critics may say. It doesn't matter what they may say about us. Brother, we just need to get back to worshiping God and praising Him and doing what He wants us to do in these times. Brother, she worshiped God in spite of the circumstances. I believe Mary believed. I believe Mary thought that Jesus was going to die soon. And she wanted to anoint His feet. She wanted to do that as an act of worship. Brother, it doesn't matter what consequences we're facing. It doesn't matter what situations we find ourselves in. We just need to worship God. A lot of people say, preacher, I don't feel like worshiping God. Do it anyway. Do it in spite of the circumstances. Do it in spite of the situations and things. Just do it because, friend, He's worthy. He's worthy tonight. Listen, look at Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they'd been beaten over there in Acts chapter 16. They'd been beaten. They're imprisoned. They're bound by chains. But yet they're in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. You know, if I've been beaten, Brother Chris, and I've been bound, and I've been imprisoned, and I'm sitting there and I'm hurting. I mean, you can imagine the pain, the cuts, the blood, the bruises that they had suffered. Listen, I'm not going to feel much like worshiping. That's just me. I'm just not going to do it. But Paul and Silas, they didn't let that stop them. They prayed and sang praises unto God. You say, preacher, what's the difference in worship and praise? Worship chiefly is the act of paying divine honor to God. It's a reverence paid unto God in religious exercises or acts. It consists in adoration, in confession, in prayer, and thanksgiving, and so on and so forth. That is what worship is. It's a personal thing between you and God. And praise, he extols God in words or in songs. It magnifies, to magnify, to glorify on account of excellent works and to honor Him. So, I mean, they're very closely related. And the difference is that praise is a component of worship, But worship extends beyond praise to include a profound personal connection and spiritual exchange with the divine. Oh, friend, today I know we praise the Lord collectively when we meet on Wednesday or Sunday, or whenever we meet, we are to praise Him collectively. But how many times through the week do we individually just worship? Just worship. Just want to be alone with Him and just worship Him for what He is. I mean, here they are. They, Paul and Silas, they didn't let their situations, they didn't let their circumstances rob them of their privilege to praise God. And friend, we ought to look at everything we go through as a privilege to praise Him. And they did, and we need to praise Him tonight. We need to worship Him because of His person, because of who He is. He's the creator of all things. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between, I'll add. And He forever will be. He's full of grace. He's full of glory. He's full of mercy to all who will receive Him, while pardoning sins and transgressions. Aren't you glad of that tonight? That we have one that pardons our sins, pardons our transgressions, saves us, sets us and sets us apart for Him. Brother, we ought to praise Him just for who He is. We ought to praise Him for His past. I mean, for all He has done. You say, preacher, what's He done? All He's done is He saved me. I mean, that's enough to praise Him, Lord. Throughout all eternity, He took me out of a bottomless pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my going and gave me eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, wash me in the blood of Christ. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Brother, praise Him tonight for His person. Praise Him for His past. What He's done for us in salvation, supplying our needs, in giving us strength. Brother, when we didn't even know we had needs, or when even we didn't know we needed strength, God still provided those things. Praise Him tonight for His present. What is He doing now? Just praise Him for what He's doing now. You say, preacher, look around. Everything's falling apart. No, it's falling into place. Amen. Believe me, it's falling right into place. It ain't falling apart. Brother, He is with us, and He'll always be with us. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He had said, I will never leave you, nor never forsake you. Brother, today I want you to know, if He's taken care of you in the past, He'll take care of you in the present. If he took care of you yesterday, He'll take care of you today. And friend, thank Him for His prospect. He'll take care of you tomorrow. Brother, there will never be a time God will not be there and take care of you. He will take care of us in the future. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother, if He was the same as He was yesterday, and if He's going to be the same tomorrow as He is today, what do I have to fear? What do I have to worry about? He's going to take care of me. Listen, we continue worshiping and praising Him. We ought to continue telling the story. We ought to continue telling the story. Paul told Timothy to continue in the things he has learned. No doubt Paul taught him the importance of proclaiming the gospel. He said, as I read there a while ago in chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, I charge you, charge. said, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and the kingdom, preach the word, be it in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But today that word preach just simply means to proclaim. It don't mean every time to stand up behind the pulpit and carry on like us preachers do. But preach is to proclaim. Proclaim it in the Walmart. Proclaim it in your work area. Proclaim it wherever you may be playing. Proclaim it where you run into people and see people. Tell people about God. You say, preacher, I don't know how to tell them. Take tracts. Hand them a tract. Can I give you this, please? Can I give you this, please? Good tracts. Now, there are some tracts I don't like. We got some good ones out there, and I've got a way that I can get some more good ones. Listen, folks, today we need to be proclaiming the gospel. Jesus commanded us to. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, whenever Jesus was born back in Luke chapter number 2, said Jesus was born, the angels came and they told the shepherds of his birth, and they said, you'll find him in Bethlehem, there in a manger, there wrapped in swaddling clothes. And these shepherds, they came and they found him just as they said they would, and said they came with haste in chapter 2 verse 16 of Luke, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying which was told them concerning this child. Well, they said they made known abroad. Whenever they saw him, they couldn't help but tell about it. Mother, whenever you were first saved, remember when you were first saved, you wanted to tell other people about him. You wanted to tell other people about your salvation. Well, that's still true tonight. We still need to be doing that. The shepherds told it. The maniac over in Mark chapter 5, Jesus told him as he was following him onto the ship, he said, go back to your kinfolk and your friends and tell them what great things Jesus had done for you. And then when Jesus came back to Gadara, the whole multitude found him at the seashore, met him at the seashore, and brought their sick loved ones and people to him that he might touch them and make them whole. Friend, today, listen, if we get a good dose of what that maniac got, it'll change our lives. You say, preacher, will everybody hear it? No. Of course not. Everybody ain't going to hear it. Some is going to receive it. Some will. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They some going to accept it. They will. They some is going to embrace it. There'll be some that'll accept him and be saved, and he'll give them power to become the sons of God. Then there's going to be some that are rejected. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Even his own kin wouldn't receive him. His own brothers and sisters in the flesh wouldn't receive him until after the resurrection. There's going to be some that's going to reject him. I remember I was out visiting when it was in Newcastle, England. Went to this door and I knocked on the door. This lady come to the door and I said, I'm Bobby Clark, I'm a minister. And we have this church over here, and we're just trying to find out, are you a Christian? She said, she's an older woman, I'm saying 60s. She said, of course I'm a Christian. Really? Said, I was born in this country, wasn't I? And slammed the door in my face. That don't make you a Christian. is no matter where your birth, it don't make you a Christian. Don't matter what church you go to, it don't make you a Christian. Don't matter how many ponds or how many baptistries you've been dunked in, it don't make you a Christian. Father, what makes you a Christian is coming in faith and repentance toward the Lord Jesus Christ and letting Him wash away your sins, and in faith accepting Him as your personal Savior. Father, today we are to continue telling the story, the old, old story, saved by grace. And then, lastly, we're to continue on in performing service. After salvation, I'm afraid many people said, well, that's good, I'm done. And they sat down. Don't do anything else, Brother Tweed. But after salvation, we need to be in service to God. We need to be serving Him. Paul told Timothy, continue on in those things that you have learned. And one of those things was in service to the Lord. There's no quitting. There's no turning back. There's no backing up in God's service. You say, preacher, ain't you ever wanted to quit? Yeah, when I pastored, about every Monday morning I wanted to quit. About every Monday morning I was ready to resign. But I'll tell you what. That Monday afternoon, God started doing work in my heart. Get back in that office. Get back with His Word. Get back with Him. He had revived me again, and I just want to go on. Go on for the glory of God. There's nowhere to stop. It's like the old song says, I've come too far to turn back. I've come too far to quit. I've come too far to give up. Listen, I can see the lights across the river. I can't see nothing but darkness back here. There comes a time I realize we can't do what we used to do, but still do what you can do. A lot of people make a mistake with that, make an excuse with that. Preacher, I just can't do what I used to do. I can't either, but I'm still going to try to do what I can do. Mary, look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, look at verse number 38. After the angel come and told Mary that the Holy Ghost was going to overshadow her and she was going to be expecting with the Christ child, she said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Whatever you want, whatever has been said, let it be done.
Amen.
I'm submitted. I'm submissive to the word, the will of God. She accepted her position. Even though she would be ridiculed, yes. Even though she'd be talked about and slandered, even though she'd be misunderstood and maligned, she never rejected what God called her to do. Even though Jesus was ridiculed, or even though He was misunderstood, even though He was maligned, and even though He was talked about and called cursed names, she knew that was going to happen. But yet, she accepted her position. She accepted this without thinking about it. She accepted her purpose. Here is a woman that raised Jesus, mothered Him, nurtured Him, cared for Him, fed Him, dressed Him, protected Him. This was her devotion as a mother to care for the child that was given to her, as every mother does, or most every mother. There are some that you know, or strung out on something or not right in the head. I understand that. But the normal mother accepts her position with her child. She raised him. She raised him right. She accepted the passion or the crucifixion. She followed him all the way to the cross. She stood with a broken heart as he suffered on the cross. As he was beat, battered, bruised, bloodied. She stood there and watched him. Watched him with all the love a mother could have. She accepted that passion. She could have cried out. She could have cried out and fought. But I believe she stood there accepting. Because I think Jesus told her all through his ministry what was going to happen. And she tried to prepare for it. She accepted. She accepted it. She accepted it because she knew that wasn't the final act. She knew 3 days, 3 nights later, he was coming back. She knew he was going to resurrect from the dead. She knew that. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because notice the women that went to the tomb. Mary wasn't one of them. They went to anoint his body for his death. Mary didn't go. There was a Mary that went, but not Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think she knew he was going to resurrect. She accepted that. Now tonight, we need to continue on in our praising and worshiping of God. We need to continue on in proclaiming and telling about him. We need to continue on in performing our service. Now is not the time to quit. There's nowhere to quit, nowhere to turn back. But now is the time to keep moving on, keep moving forward and looking forward and asking God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? A lot of people, Isaiah said, who will go? Who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. For a long time, God said, you go preach. And instead of saying, here am I, send me, I said, send somebody else. Send somebody else. Oh, friend, today we need to continue on. Not quit. Not give up. We are going through a valley. We are going through hard times. But, you know, Jesus still ain't forsook us. He's still there with us. Keep praying. Emma, you want to come to the piano and get a verse ready? I'll have prayer, and you might just need to come and pray tonight. I don't know your heart. You just may need to feel like you just need to come. Ask God for strength and help. Father, I pray, Lord, please take this message and use it for your honor, your glory. God, I know, Lord, there are times in my life that I've wanted to quit, truly wanted to quit, sit down. But God, you've always inspired me. You've always helped me. Always encouraged me. God, I pray, Lord, that may be the case tonight. Lord, if there be one, Father, that's here, that's ready to back down, give up, God, just encourage them. Lord, through your word tonight, God, give them help. Give them strength in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. You need to come, you come tonight. Thank you for being here this evening. Do be much in prayer for the church. Be much in prayer for the services this week. This weekend, God will meet with us and give us exactly what we need. Amen. All right. Anybody have a word on your heart before we dismiss? All right. I noticed Brother Evan at the left. I know he's feeling rough tonight when he came in. So you continue to remember him tonight. All right, nothing else? Brother James, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessing we received here tonight, Lord.